Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the broadcast for June the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. The checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great brilliant solutions we still have at our fingertips, thanks heavens. And we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The good Sheriff Richard Mack is with me once again this hour. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, thanks, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Saturday morning.
Man, there's so much to talk about. And since you were with us yesterday for both hours, I'm going to skip the recap that I normally do. I'll save that for next hour when I'm by myself. But we ended by talking about, do you want to get rid of the national anthem? And we quoted the national anthem, and we really talked up.
Wait, you said I want to get rid of it?
No. They asked us if we all want to get rid of it.
Oh.
Me, you, and the good co-host, Kirk Crosby, all wanted to keep it and defend it.
Right.
But they asked a question in the mainstream press, do you want to get rid of the national anthem? And from the three of us, it was a resounding, absolutely not, what are you thinking? And so we read the verses and talked about the blessing that it highlights of God, family, and country, and the blessing of, you know what, we seek for peace even in the midst of war and pray for God to protect us. And so that's kind of the debate that we ended on yesterday. Not a debate between the three of us, but the highlighting of our response to the debate happening in the mainstream press. I bring that up because we ended on a very positive note indeed. So now I've got several questions based on headlines in the news for the good sheriff. This all relates to kind of police discussions, etc. So I figured nobody better than the good sheriff to answer them for us. First headline, sheriff says this. Georgia residents could now face, quote, additional prison time due to Georgia's new hate crime law, which Republican Governor Brian Kemp just signed into law on Friday. The law, they say, applies to any person who is, quote, found guilty of a crime against someone based on sexual orientation, gender, race, color, religion, national origin, sex, let's see, or mental or physical disabilities, The Hill is now reporting. Now, I'm sorry I kind of butchered that. It's just so long of a list of, quote, groups that have a special, you know, situation due to this, quote, hate crime law. Now, Republicans have traditionally been against it, but Georgia Governor now Brian Kemp doubles down in defense of this law. So listen, the law applies to any person that is found guilty of a crime against someone based on sexual orientation, gender, race, color, religion, national origin, and then they say sex again for some reason, and then mental and or physical disability, The Hill reported. It's a set of, quote, sentencing guidelines that varies based on the type of crime that the individual is convicted of. Now, listen, if convicted of a, quote, misdemeanor under the new law, the hate crime bill will add a, quote, additional 12 months of prison time and will add 2 years of prison time to a felony charge. So it adds 1 year to a misdemeanor, and 2 years to a felony. Before the bill was signed, believe it or not, Georgia was one of the very few states that did not have, quote, hate crime laws. And in a minute, I'll tell you which states still don't have hate crime laws. But, Sheriff, I have a problem with this hate crime idea because I don't know any crimes committed out of love, sir. How dumb am I?
Even out of indifference.
Good point, sure.
Committed that way. And actually, you and I have talked about this before, maybe a couple of times, but it was quite some time ago when they were coming up with the hate crime laws all across the country. And you're right, some areas don't have it because they don't make sense. Because it gets into the mind of the suspect at the time he did it.
Yeah, we're beyond discussions of motive and or prior intent or legitimate questions that we have. We're beyond that now into the thought police idea of what drove you to something, right?
Right. Do you hate? And it's not against the law for me to hate. I can hate any type of person that I want to. You can't make hate or the way I feel or think against the law. And that's what this does. And that's why, to me, it's so stupid. I'm against all crimes. I'm against all violence. I'm against all injustice. But I don't want to get into what the person was feeling or what they were raised to believe when they were a little boy or girl. And if this is the case, then I want all of the rioters, looters, and burners that have hit the streets since the George Floyd murder, I want all of them prosecuted with hate crimes. Because, boy, did they hate, and are they really hateful. And this trying to get the justice system to get into the mind of the person, either before or during the actual act and commission of a crime, it is just ridiculous. And I don't see how they could do it unless you interview the person and they admit that, I did this out of hate.
But even if they admit this, to me, let's be clear, you can't just add time on something for hate. What you need to do is define hate as a separate crime, if indeed you can prove a crime. Otherwise, what prevents you from eventually just stacking all kinds of things to it?
Well, yeah.
Okay, you glared at somebody before you, you know, killed them, and so therefore the glare would be a crime. And so what I'm trying to get at is, where can it end in terms of what we can expand this to? What if you say, not only was it hate, my friend, so we're going to add something to it without any designation of separate activity of crime, if you will, and then what if we say, not only was it hate, it was political hate. And by golly, not only was it political hate, Sheriff, it was that Republican kind. So now you got a hate crime law that's extended because of the hate. Then you got the political aspect, which increases it even further. And then by golly, you got conservative hate. And by all means, you even think Jesus thinks somebody needs to repent. Or, you know, you've got, it's almost the king of hate, the Jesus hate based on Christian beliefs. What I mean is, you get the thought police a rolling, and there's no end to this. And you could say I'm being extreme. But if you don't separate this out as a separate crime with reality, where will it end, sir? Will there be different levels of hate over time, Christian hate being the worst?
Right, yeah. And, yeah, let's start giving all sorts of levels now. Do you hate that atheist, or does that atheist hate? And does he replace a belief in deity with hate? And so, you know, let's add another year for that if he doesn't go to church. Or
if he does go to church is really the probably more likely scenario.
Exactly.
What if it's a no-mask-wearing hate person? What if you hate and you didn't wear a mask, my friend?
What if I hate masks?
Whoa. Yeah, see, if you hate masks, I mean, that could be the worst. So I know this sounds extreme, and it sounds like we're just digging here or reaching for straws, but the truth is, what I don't know is where this will end, though. Because this idea that we would punish people for actions and not for their thoughts was kind of the line designated, what, for centuries,
yeah,
sir?
Where does it all end, though, Sam? And I think that's a good point. I don't think you have to soften this, because it is so ridiculous. It is so out there. And it sounds like, to me, that the timing of this, that this governor of Georgia, who was one of the first to open up his state against the wishes of many others, including President Trump, seems to be pretty independent in his thinking. But this now seems to be playing to what's going on in our country, and so he's going to, oh yeah, we'll see. I'm on your side. I'm really supporting hate crime, and absurd. That is not what the system is about. The system goes and looks at the crime and punishes the person for the crime, not what they were thinking or feeling. It almost makes me want to have everybody that commits a crime that they must watch 10 hours of South Pacific. Yes, the play, the movie, you can certainly watch that, the musical, because it has a song in there, You've Got to Be Taught. And it's all about prejudice and racism. And the movie brings up racism quite often during the entire show. And I just watched it with my grandkid while we were in Austin taking care of them. And that song's pretty good. You've got to be taught. It's not something you're born with. You've got to be taught to hate. And I think that's the thing that we need to address is how are we as families? And I can tell you from what my kids have talked about at school that they are taught hate at home. And that's really where we need to go with all of this. And we need to address that hate doesn't get rid of hate and that we've got to show forth a greater concern and love to the people around us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is a very serious, serious topic. What if all of a sudden you had a hate crime committed and it was against a government official? I don't know if they can punish you into the eternities, but that's what they would attempt, wouldn't they?
I hate corruption.
Whoa, Sheriff. Liberty Roundtable Live.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, and you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, the good sheriff is with us, Sheriff Richard Mack, and he hates corruption. Man, that ought to be a serious hate crime, my friends. You know what? I don't understand how this even works or where it will end. Let me ask you a question. If we can add time to your sentence based on the Georgia, quote, new law, Brian Kemp, shame on you, sir. Because I don't understand how you just add this if you have, it's almost like insurance and riders. You know, you have a rider for something. You got this general insurance policy, and then, hey, if you want a rider for, I don't know, whatever it is, you can add that. And so you'd have this, you know, you killed somebody, but then, you know, you're white, and so they're black. And I know it was in self-defense, but by golly, it's a hate crime because there's a race factor, and it was a transgender black person, so there's the gayfer factor, and then you go on and on and on, and where does this end? And then if you put the political component into it, what if they do the opposite, though, Sheriff, and they give protection to people, so there's a hate, I don't know what you want to call it, expander, for some crimes, but then other crimes, let's say that a black guy kills a white guy. And, you know, normally we would add a hate crime to that because there's a racial component. But in this case, we're going to kind of add a payback or a retribution or a the ends justifies the means. So we're going to lessen the crime. Okay, what they can start kind of adding a, I know it was driven by hate, but you know what? We're going to throw the hate part out. In fact, we're going to kind of add a little, it was necessary because the ends justifies the means kind of an idea. It's kind of like how we're pulling down these statues right now. We're not really prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law. What we're saying is, I mean, I know it's bad to yank down statues, but think of what they've endured. Think of how, and so what they almost do is they create the opposite now, which is a special privilege factor as opposed to a hate factor, sir. Won't they start doing that too?
Oh, yeah, of course. And there's already been mention of that. Some of these protesters, I don't know if it's the one that the same ones are being violent, but it did come from some of the occupiers in Seattle, that they were, that certain races and people were to get special treatment. And look at what the affirmative action has been for decades. It's special treatment. It's a way for government to stop or reverse, probably reverse is a better word, discrimination in our country and prejudice in our country. I find it so ridiculously hypocritical that we're going to stop discrimination by institutionalizing more discrimination.
You end up with, though, is special classes or special groups of people with certain guidelines to them that are differing from, quote, the norm or whatever else. You got the hate group, of course. If you support a third party, if you support Donald Trump, if you know, then you're going to have harsher treatment than those who support the Joe Bidens of the world. And it goes on and on. One last point about this. God just says things like this. Keep the Sabbath day holy. He doesn't say unless you have hate in your heart or love in your heart or you're black or you're white or you're tall or you're short or you're a politician or not. He says thou shalt not kill. He doesn't say unless the ends justifies the means and it's necessary for your cause. He just says thou shalt not kill. And what we're really doing is we're basically taking guidelines, and eventually what we'll have is a hodgepodge of laws across the states that will be so differing because the blue states will not, you know, behave and enact laws like the red states will. And what you're going to create, in my opinion, is a landmine in America of confusion. And you're going to look at man and the whims of man as opposed to God's laws for guidance, and it spells disaster, Sheriff.
Yeah, it is. It is part of the disaster that's already going on in our country, and I'm afraid we're moving so ridiculously to, I don't know, I was going to say the left, but I'm not really going to say left, even though we are, because of socialism and communism, I guess you can call that left, but it really doesn't matter if you go too far right or too far left, you meet at the same area, and that is chaos.
No doubt about it. Okay, a couple of other quick stories from yesterday's show that are I want to highlight because I've got a couple of questions about them. So number one, the IRS wants stimulus checks back from inmates. You think the IRS is committing a hate crime, sir?
That's a hate crime.
Asking for those checks back from the inmates? Yes, sir.
That's a hate crime.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
You played a clip during the break, and you do it every show, and I just realized something. It was the quote from Barack Obama, and he said, monkey around with the election.
Yes, sir.
That's a racist slur. Sorry.
I know, but see, he's black, even though he's half white. He can say that, bro. In fact, I think he should only be able to say half the word, though. He should only be able to say mung.
Well, he's half. Then that means he's half white privilege, and he can't say it.
And he's half hate-filled, too.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now, let me ask you this question. Is this a hate crime, Sheriff? Ready?
Yes, go ahead.
The IRS sent 1 million dead American stimulus checks, costing the federal government nearly $1.4 billion, a government watchdog reported. Is that a hate crime, sir?
I don't know. We're going to have to add to the list now.
Well, when they rape my wallet like that, it seems pretty hateful to me to give it to dead people that can't even use it.
Yeah, it's kind of a mockery to the dead people. So, But all right. We need to add to this, Sam. It used to be that you can't fix stupid. But that's why we probably need to make stupidity against the law, along with hate crime.
Ooh, good point.
You can't be stupid while you commit your crime either. And so if this is utter stupidity, that needs to be charged as well.
Yeah, like if you leave your cell phone at the crime of a bank robbery or something like that. It's stupidity.
Now, when my father died, it took I don't know if it was FBI or who, but it took them about a day, not even a day, Sam, it seemed like, that they notified my mother that she was getting 2/3 of his retirement. And so it's like they wanted to stop that payment immediately. And I was shocked. All of us were. How did they know Dad died so fast? And so if they can, why can't the IRS access the same?
Well, and this is why I say that I just don't believe when we say this stuff is incompetence or oversight or not updated computers and all that. I don't believe it because they can attack me for anything I do, buddy. I walk across the street and the cop's like, hey.
Right, exactly.
You know, and they monitor everything we do. So it doesn't hold water. All right, a couple more questions about hate crimes, just so I'm clear on this, Sheriff. There's a protester that attempted to stare down an Asian policewoman.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Is that a hate crime?
Well, we were accused of the same thing, Sam, at the rally we had at the state capitol against the lockdown order from Governor Ducey, also a Republican. And there was a lot of people there. And there's a Vietnam veteran who's really a good friend of mine, really is a staunch supporter of the CSPOA, donates all the time to the CSPOA. Just about every time I see him, he gives a donation to the CSPOA. And there was three nurses standing out there in their nurse uniform and just standing there with their arms folded, looking at us. And what they were doing, at first I thought they were really being cool, and then the next thing I go, oh, they're mad at us. They're mad at us for not social distancing and for being there talking about and standing for freedom.
You and killers probably didn't have a mask on either, did you?
Exactly. They were mad at us for having a rally against doing all these things that are going to save our lives. Well, Mark went up to one of them and was standing right in front of her, staring at her. But he is the most Christian man, Sam, you'll ever meet. He's evangelical. He never gets up in front of anybody without praising God and Jesus and all of that. He's very religious. He was trying to show her love, and I'm not kidding you. And he stood there staring at her, and the picture of it got out there, and they said, look, because he was wearing a motorcycle insignia, because he's really into motorcycles, which is probably another hate crime, but he wore some of his, what do I want to call it, Vietnam era insignias and so on. And so I was looking at it in person when I first saw it, and I didn't recognize it was Mark, and I had to tell people. He was not trying to intimidate her. He is the most Christian person, but the way the media took it is that he was actually trying to intimidate her with his Vietnam look.
But wasn't she staring at him first?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, man, just like a little kid, you started it, Sheriff.
Yeah.
What the heck? See, one's a hate crime and one's not, because we're going to decide what's in your heart. I mean, this gets to the point of insanity, ladies and gentlemen. Just pure, flat-out insanity in the Republic. All right, ladies and gentlemen, quick pause, but we talked yesterday about the lasagna lady. Kurt was telling us about a lady who was furloughed from her jobs, and she made 1,200 pounds of lasagna. Let's talk about it.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns. Mississippi health officials are urging people to wear facial masks and to social distance after the state hit a one-day record total for new coronavirus cases. Jackson, Mississippi Mayor Chokwe Antar Lumumba told ABC News they're watching things.
The first effort is one of communication and admonishment, a gentle admonishment of our residents to take the precautions that we are advising them to take. And I think that as we have seen some of the news cycle change, not only locally, but nationally, people have grown less concerned about that over time.
Mississippi Health Officer Thomas Dobbs said if his state is not careful, quote, we'll look like New York. Meanwhile, Texas Governor Greg Abbott told television station KVIA he shouldn't have rushed to reopen bars. There are now more than 5,000 people in the hospital in the Lone Star State. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you in need of a healthcare program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts, no commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty has saved me $72,000 compared to what I was paying for health insurance over these 4 years. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
A federal judge in New York State has blocked Governor Andrew Cuomo and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio from enforcing some coronavirus restrictions. The judge ruled they favored protest over prayer, writing the governor and the mayor can't encourage people to take the streets to protest racial injustice while restricting outdoor religious gatherings. The suit was brought by some Catholic priests in the state and Orthodox Jewish leaders in the city. An economic report from the government showed a better-than-expected rise in consumer spending.
American consumers increasing their spending last month by a record 8.2%, partly erasing record plunges in the previous 2 months of 6.6% in March after a whopping 12.6% decline in consumer spending in April. That's when the viral pandemic started shuttering businesses, forcing millions of layoffs and sending the economy into a recession. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
By the way, I got Sheriff Richard Mack with me. For the record, I love lasagna. Nevertheless, there's this lady, she's nicknamed the Lasagna Lady. And she did a phenomenal job, and she was furloughed from her job, and she made 1,200 pans of lasagna for the needy. And I say, good on her. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job.
How does she do that?
Buddy, she just gets it done. She gets something in her mind, and she works hard. It's just tremendous. But here's the question, Sheriff. What if I hate, let me say this word again, what if I hate lasagna? And this lady, a white woman, brings me a pan of the stuff.
She's white.
Would that be a hate crime?
Yeah, she has to find out first if you like lasagna.
Because, I mean, just think about how rude that would be. If I don't like lasagna and she brings me one of them things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm just saying, folks, you got to... Now, that sounds absurd. That sounds extreme. I understand. It sounds like, Sam, you're taking this way too far, buddy. But I don't think so. And I look at the laws on the books right now that I see, Sheriff, and I go, when in America did you think they would literally say you need to walk around like Halloween every day with a mask on your face? And if you don't, buddy, you are a flat-out criminal. You're going to kill everybody. We hate you for not wearing one of those things.
Right.
Wait a minute. What if you hate somebody for not wearing a mask? Is that a hate crime? No, it's just wearing the mask that's a hate crime, see? We're all topsy-turvy to the point where you couldn't even imagine it. We're debating if men are women and women are men stuff. And then you go, oh, Sam, you're taking this hate thing too far there now. Well, am I? Am I really, Sheriff?
Yeah, I mean, you reminded me of what happened to me when I took my son to the hospital in Houston. Okay, Josh had a real serious operation. It got infected. He had a catheter for a bag to take his urine. And that all got infected. And it was, like, horrible. It was really gross how bad it got. And it became, and he's a nurse, and he really said it was a life-and-death situation for him. And it appeared that it was. And so his wife said, I was up all night with him. I can't drive him. Will you drive us to Houston? Well, that's a two-hour drive. So I'm with them in close proximity, of course, in their home and also close proximity in the car. There was no social distancing in the car. So we get to the hospital, and she takes him in to the emergency room, and I go park, and I just dropped him off, said, hurry, take him in. And I went and parked, and I came back, and I said, my son's in. And they greet you. It's like this army of screening. As soon as you walk in, they pounce on you, and they don't even ask you. They put a little calculator-looking thing with a point on it. It looks like a gun, in a way. It's shaped like a gun. And they put that on your forehead without you giving them permission, without asking or anything. They just do it as soon as you walk in the lobby. And they said, you got to fill out all these forms, and you got to, and who are you here to see, and blah, blah, blah. And I gave them the name of my son. They said, his wife is already with him, right? And you can't even be in the hospital, sir. And I said, can I use the restroom? They said, only if you're escorted there and back will we make sure you leave. And so I came back after using the restroom, and a girl escorted me there and back. I thought she was going to go inside with me. And she was kind of friendly, and I asked her about the mask she was wearing. I said, you know that's bad for you, right? She goes, yeah, it is. And I said, well, you know it's bad for you, and you keep it on?
She has no choice, buddy. It's either that or get fired.
Right.
And if you're not really careful, you get hauled to the gulag, my friend.
And so I went back to the lobby, and I said, the whole waiting area had about 50 chairs that were empty. And so I said, look, I'm here with my son. I drove with them 2 hours to get here. They go, well, you can't even stay in the building. And I said, I'm not from here. I'm from Arizona. I have absolutely no place to go. I have no clue how to get.
Don't care about you, buddy. Just get away. You're going to spread the corona. In fact, did you smile and say, ciao, baby, Elvis is leaving the building, or what?
I'm wondering if I should charge him with a hate crime. Sam, literally, it was extremely hot.
You should not charge them with a hate crime. You'll lose, and you'll be the hate guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not trying to be rude about this. This is what I'm saying, the level that we've gone to. Listen to this. I've got a very close loved one who is in the hospital now. Only two people are allowed to see this person in the hospital. Nobody else. They were assigned from the beginning. And now they're going to a rehab facility, and there is zero, let me say that again, zero visitation for this whole 3 weeks in this rehab location. And I'm thinking, if somebody's going to do rehab, don't they need loved ones around them of encouragement and faith and hope and prayers? And no, you're going to be absolutely in 100% isolation while you try to, do this rehab stuff. I just think we've lost our minds.
Well, Sam, that's my whole point, is a hospital literally put a 67-year-old man out on the streets of Houston in the middle of the day with the glaring hot sun and the humidity, and I literally just walked the streets for 2 hours. I had no place.
Now, let me explain this, or let me highlight this, too. Houston's one of the massive resurgent hot spots, they claim. Headline that I have right here literally highlights this reality. Some states have reported an increase in coronavirus cases. Alabama and Houston and other hot spots are really cranking up, experiencing a surge. In fact, it's so bad in Alabama, 82% of their hospital beds are already filled.
Yeah.
As to ABC 3340 or whatever reported it. This is insane. And now they got you walking the streets? That's a safe plan.
Well, I know, exactly. And so I said, and I even told them that. And security guard was called over, standing next to me, another guy with a mask on. I'm not sure what he was. I thought he was a nurse, but he was dressed a little bit different. And he started getting in on it and telling me what for, and it created somewhat of a scene, and I'm sure they thought it was all my fault. And I said, so here's a...
And you got some whacked out hate monger dude running in there without a mask trying to kill everybody.
Oh, I had my mask on.
Oh, good. Sure.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get arrested. You know, I had my mask on.
Heard that.
And so anyway, they really... So I said, here's a hospital now kicking me out because I can't expose myself to your patients. And I will never be within 200 feet of a patient. Isn't that right? And they said, well, maybe 100 feet or whatever. Because I said, if I stay here in this lobby, what patient will be near me? And they said, none. And so I said, so I can't sit in any of these empty chairs that are totally empty. And said, no, only one person can be in here with the person that's in the hospital. Your daughter-in-law's already here. You can't be here. And so I said, you're literally kicking someone out that has congenital heart disease. I was 67 years old, who is going to be out there in the heat and nowhere to go. So, Sam, two things happened. I went and got a hamburger. I saw some homeless people outside, and I took them all a hamburger. And then I kept walking around. I went back towards the hospital, and lo and behold, there's a Marriott right next to it. I literally checked into a hotel just because I was getting too hot, and it was starting to get to me. So that's what happened. And I really want to send them back the bill for the hotel and say that you have the audacity to do that when you're trying to say that I did not have contact with the patient. Both my daughter-in-law and my son had all sorts of contact with me, and you allowed them in there. So the infection that you could have protected anybody from was null and void because I was already around them.
There's no common sense to this. We're all just stuck on stupid. Let me ask you this.
That's the point. Let me make one point.
Sure.
That, the coronavirus has made us sick, and it's not the virus. It is we now have become hateful and mean and cruel and just downright stupid.
Well, I heard that. But it's going to get worse, folks. You haven't seen the end of it yet. There's three states on the books right now that don't have any hate crimes. Did you know that, Sheriff? Did you know there's three states that don't have any hate crimes on the books?
What could they be thinking?
Can you guess what those three states are?
Alaska, Hawaii, and Arizona.
Hate to tell you, wrong on all three, sir. Arkansas, South Carolina, and Wyoming are now the only three states without a, quote, hate crime law on their books. Isn't that interesting?
You had two from the Confederacy and then Wyoming.
Yeah, but the Confederacy, the only reason they don't have hate crimes is they're so full of hate, they don't even know what hate crime is, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That's what they would say, right? I mean, that's their view, see?
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, now there's a few states, there's eight states that have not gone along with the coronavirus complete lockdowns, which we talked about yesterday as well. Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, North and South Dakota, Oklahoma, Utah, and Wyoming have more freedom than other states. Interesting as well. All right, quick pause. The good sheriff's with us. Glad he's alive, ladies and gentlemen, after that heroic feat. Liberty Roundtable in seconds.
I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
You got two heroes on the break, ladies and gentlemen. You got David Timeout trying to handle that. You got Rand Paul trying to stand for pro-life. Now the mainstream press has got Planned Parenthood trying to pass out free birth control to counter, quote, systemic racism. And you got the Oakland, California area abolishing their government school police force to go ahead and make sure they're kind and gentle. Don't, you know, I mean, this is insanity. They're kicking the good sheriff out of a hospital. He doesn't belong there. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but there are states that have a lot more freedom than others. I'll tell you that right now. Now, the House passed a bill trying to create another state sheriff in the House of Representatives. It passed 232-180. Zero Republican support, I might add. Their goal? To make Washington, D.C. a state, sir. This is the first time it's ever actually passed the House.
Why do they care? Why do they want Washington, D.C. to be a state?
Well, because then they'll have more representation and more power, sir. They know that'll go Democrat, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course.
Okay, so you got to understand their goal. They'd have a whole nother state, a whole nother, you know, couple of senators, and I don't know how many congressmen. And so it just give them much more, you know, their majorities would be almost foolproof if you let unlimited immigration happen and then you go ahead and make, you know, Washington District of Criminals a state. Buddy, you're going to have a Democratic majority all the time.
Well, I think that's going to happen.
It's only a matter of time, right?
Yeah. Now, I gave my prediction yesterday that Trump was going to lose. Believe me, I do not want that to happen at all.
But amen.
I believe he's going to lose. And I believe that the Senate is going to go Democrat, and that the House will be strengthened with more Democrats. So I believe that's going to happen. So
you believe, like the Republican surge several years ago, you're going to have a Democratic surge similar fashion?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sir, how I pray you're wrong.
And so my prediction to you that we were 2 to 5 years away from a complete socialist takeover of our country, I'm going to up that to maybe a year, and maybe even quicker.
I couldn't pray you or be more wrong, Sheriff.
Oh, me too.
This is insanity. All right, let me highlight some of the problem. When the liberals say the extremists, the Antifa, the Black Lives Matters, the rioters, the communists, I don't know what cadre of groups we're talking about. But while they're trying to defund the police, let me give you a little bit of tidbit, because they are right. We need to defund a lot of the cops. Sheriff, and let me explain what I mean. In Seattle, do you know how much they pay their police officers?
I have no idea.
As much as $414,543 for some of them. 364 Seattle Police Department, quote, professionals made over $200,000 in 2019 alone.
Oh, my God.
So 200 to 500 grand. And listen to this. You ready for this? Okay. 1,326 Seattle officers made at least six figures. That's up. That's Forbes reported the details.
Good grief.
So, you know, when they say defund the police, I kind of understand a lot of their point. I don't agree with taking money away or shutting down those departments or whatever else. But listen, when you have cops making $200,000 to $500,000 a year, hey, man, at some point, I see why people are rioting. Now, I don't see why you would destroy property and all that kind of stuff, but I see why you'd be, pardon the pun, up in arms about this. But it's out of control. Listen carefully to what else goes on in the city of Seattle. No wonder this was the Chaz zone, right? The top 10 highest paid officers made between $300,000 and $400,000.
Yeah, those are captains or majors.
Yeah, but $300,000 to $400,000? I get where you're like, hey, the captains make, you know, $130,000. I get it. But $400,000, Sheriff?
No. Yeah, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
All right, now listen, the city generously compensates their other employees as well. Do you know how much tree trimmers make?
No.
Over $150,000.
Oh, come on.
I swear. Do you know what the chief librarian makes up there in Seattle, buddy?
Oh, man, don't tell me.
$197,000, buddy.
For a librarian.
Roger that, sir.
Oh, my.
It is insane. I mean, no wonder people are rioting over there.
No kidding.
Do you know how much electricians are paid?
That are government electricians?
Yes, sir.
Normal business.
No government ones.
Yeah. I guess $200,000.
$271,000, sir. Do you know what the electrical line workers get paid? Now, this isn't exactly government. Kind of, right?
Right.
Do you know what they get paid, the line workers?
$125,000.
More than $300,000, bro.
Oh, God.
Okay, so, God. No offense, I kind of get, I don't agree with, but I kind of get.
What do the teachers make there? What do the teachers make?
I don't know. I didn't have a list of that.
Yeah,
that'd be scary. You got to go there and be a teacher, Sheriff.
Yeah.
The only problem is you might get caught in the Chaz zone, bro.
Hawaii really pays teachers pretty well, but, you know, you got to take in consideration cost of living there.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, all I'm saying is that I understand that we've got problems in America, but who would allow all this kind of thing to happen? And then we're like, hey, man, you know, governments can't pay their bills and stuff. And you go, no wonder. No wonder they can't pay their bills. And I look at this and I just go, what do we got to do? What do we got to do to save the greatest country on the face of the earth, Sheriff? Okay, for example, President Trump accused Black Lives Matter leader Walter Hawk Newsom of committing treason, sedition, and insurrection in a tweet on Thursday. Do you think we can add a hate crime to that?
Well, we sure could. Yeah, that.
And then lobbyist Jack Abramoff goes back to jail. I look at these headlines and I just go, man, I don't know how to respond to a lot of this stuff. All right, before the end of the hour, Trump is right about police. An opinion piece written says, quote, we've asked officers to take on way too many duties. They say by narrowing the role of policing, both police critics and supporters can achieve their aims, the headline says. It's a huge opinion piece, but basically what it says is, hey, President Trump is right on this policing stuff. All right, I think it's Jason C. Johnson contributes this opinion piece, and he says, with calls of police reform across the U.S., instructors, researchers, and lawmakers say officers lack sufficient training on how and when to use force, leaving them unable to handle their tremendous responsibility. So he says Donald Trump's special executive order on policing has been literally, destroyed by the police crowd that wants to defund the cops, right? But Trump's approach does represent the best hope yet for improving community policing. In fact, Donald Trump's proposal embraces the defunding advocates' criticisms that law enforcement has now become a catch-all for society's ills. So by narrowing the role of policing, everybody can achieve their aims. The true aims of advocates for defunding, well, that's as slippery as a wet bar of soap, he says, because we have convoluted or contorted definitions that abound. All right. defunding the police does not mean zeroing out budgets for agencies. This kind of double talk doesn't work. Defund doesn't mean defund. Abolish doesn't mean abolish. But you know what? We got to set aside the extremes here and focus on scaling back the duties and expectations that local governments and municipalities have for the police. When all other government or community services are unavailable, police becomes the agency of, quote, last resort. And this is the problem. We need to let police focus on public safety. Anyway, the article goes on, but I want you to be able to respond before the end of the hour, Sheriff. The upshot is this. You know what? We can really reduce the funding to cops. We can focus, says Jason C. Johnson, on let the police deal with public safety. Okay, by curtailing these demands, overburdened officers can learn de-escalation training. Resources can be more effectively targeted. Okay, anyway, it goes on and on and on. But suffice it to say, this guy believes that Donald Trump is right. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't think it has gone far enough. I think they need to look at, and I totally support the thing. Public safety is the key issue there, and that's where our law enforcement should be focusing. And then, of course, we need to look at where they focus most of their time, and that's the drug war. And I think we finally need to realize here that that has been an exercise in futility. And I'm not sure what the answer is to that, but I know what it isn't, and that's what we've been doing for the last 50 years, trying to stop people from smoking marijuana or ingesting any of these drugs. Government's role is never to be protecting me from my own appetites or addictions. It is maybe recognizing that I need help, just like community policing tactics of looking at a neighborhood and seeing a lady's home that is run down, and that we actually get neighbors and community and businesses together to fix up her home for her. Same thing with somebody who has addiction. We help them and get them the help they need, and putting people in prison has not helped us one iota. And that's the other side of this, Sam, that we must address how many people we put in prison that shouldn't be there. Steve Stockman, Sam Gerard, and many, many others that you and I have been trying to help. And it's absurd that we allow the injustices of the IRS to continue when we're trying to reshape the police departments in our inner city. And so if the injustices continue, then this is still going to happen, and we're just shifting it to some other place. And where they will shift that is with government crimes and IRS crimes and hate crimes and so forth. So if you're trying to increase arrest by hate crime, and then you're trying to decrease police and what they need to be doing, then those don't coincide. Those are counterproductive. They're counter to each other. And so we have got to look at how we think about this.
Now, this guy finishes on an important point. I want to make it and then let you respond, hopefully before the end of the hour here. He says part of the problem is that many, quote, defund or abolish the police advocates have never experienced the bad times. Crime, believe it or not, has fallen dramatically and almost continuously in America for over three decades. New York City, for example, logged 2,250 homicides 30 years ago. Last year, 300 people were murdered in the Big Apple. Even though New York has grown by over 1 million people. Nationwide, property and violent crime, less than half of what they were. America is the safest that has been in 40 years. Brought to you by We All Have Privilege, and thanks for the police. Your final quick response, Sheriff.
Well, there's a lot of differing factors into that, and we've discussed that before. So statistics aren't always as plain and simple as they look. But I would say there's so much more that we need to look at, and it needs to become a lot more broader.
And I would say this. We can't just have a one-size-brush-fits-all. The small police organizations or sheriff departments aren't the same as the big, huge Seattle police departments. Not even close. God save the Republic. Thank you, Sheriff.